Please be seated. Author and seminary professor Thomas Long wrote an essay a while back about a man named Judge Roy Moore. You might remember that name. Moore was the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, who waged and lost a stubborn battle to keep the Ten Commandments monument in his courthouse because of his refusal to obey the order from the judge. He was eventually removed from office. I've often said that I believe judges should be able to display the Ten Commandments in their courtrooms only if they display only those commandments which they themselves have not broken. That would solve the controversy, but that's another sermon. But something that Thomas Long wrote was something that I didn't realize, and it's the fact that the monument itself weighed 5,280 pounds, or just over 500 pounds per commandment. Moore literally lugged this hefty monster around from one public appearance to another on the back of a flatbed truck. Whenever the truck, though, would return to Alabama, a 57-foot I-beam 5-ton crane would be used to lift it from the flatbed and place it back in its place at the Supreme Court building. One author who viewed this spectacle wrote that the crane would visibly buckle under all that weight. Now, hopefully you see a metaphor coming on. Somehow, we have succeeded in making God's rules, God's law, a burden, a heavy burden, with really weighty obligations. They become limits on our personal behavior. Most people can't name all 10 of the commandments, but won't hesitate to recite a finger wagging thou shalt not when the need arises. Somehow we've made them into heavy yokes to be publicly placed around the necks of a rebellious society. I don't know how or why we've done this to the commandments, but in doing so, I think we overlook something essential. My teenage years were not the most fun time of my life. My parents were incredibly strict, to the point of being overbearing. And the result was I wasn't able to enjoy some of the social aspects of that time of life. Certain events were taboo, and asking to go was simply pointless. My curfew was always earlier than everyone else's. Seldom was I actually allowed to go out on both Friday and Saturday night, because in my parents' minds, one night was enough. It was a difficult way to grow up. It was difficult growing up under that burden, and I resented it deeply, and probably still do. My friend Robert, though, had it easy. Few, if any, rules. Any weekend night when I was staying over at his house was frankly Katie bar the door. Robert was mostly raised by his mother. He had an older sister who had paved the way for him. And although he had a stepfather, I'm not sure that I ever laid eyes on the man. And I envied Robert. He seemed to be able to do what he pleased, especially when it came to his curfew. And one night, and I remember this vividly, I told him as much, that I envied him. I told him how much I wished my parents weren't so strict and how I envied his freedom. And to this day, I remember his response to me. He said, "You're the one who's lucky. My parents could care less about me. At least you know your parents care." Well, frankly, that wasn't good enough for a teenager, but those words have stuck with me. How did we let God's law become a burden? How did we let rules become a reflection of what we shall not do instead of what they are, a sign of God's love for us? Maybe Maybe this is why the meek and mild Jesus of our stained glass windows gets so angry in today's gospel lesson. God's law was a means of establishing a covenant relationship with God and with each other. Yet by the time we get to today's gospel, those Ten Commandments had been expanded, not by God, but by the keepers of understanding, into some 613 rules, regulations, and rituals. These rules represented the religious leaders of the day, their understanding of what it meant to be in God's favor. And they were a burden. It's interesting to note also that in John's gospel that we just heard, this story occurs near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, whereas in the other gospel, it occurs at the end. Maybe John wants to set the stage for what the ministry of Jesus was all about. A ministry that was committed not to destroy the law, but to define it with its original understanding, that it's about God's love, our loving God, and our loving our neighbor. Can you imagine how attractive that must have been to those who were so weighted down by what were impossible expectations? And the law was most reflected in the temple, the representation of God's presence. And the temple, too, had changed. Temples were to be a place where people could come in contact with God, with his grace and with his love. It was a place to give thanks, to ask forgiveness, and to hear God's word. But like the law, the temple had changed. The idea of ritual sacrifice had been corrupted. Parts of the animal were sacrificed to God, but other parts were saved to help support the priest, and whatever was left over maybe was given to the poor. Not everyone had sheep or goats or pigeons to offer for sacrifice, so what did the priest do? Well, of course, they had their own supply of sacrificial animals right there on the premises. The only catch was you had to use temple coins to purchase them. You didn't have temple coins? Well, that's no problem either. Right there, you could get your nasty Roman coins converted, for a fee, of course, into temple money. Just one more thing that makes your temple a full-service temple for your convenience and for your salvation, too. That's the temple that Jesus walks into. A holy place with noise and shouting and bargaining and bragging and bleating and cooing. And he loses it. He takes a cord, probably his belt, and he literally wreaks havoc in the most holy place in Jerusalem. But everything that Jesus rejected that day was put there at first with good intentions. It was there to help people. To help people who came seeking God's will for their lives and to thank him for his love. But it turned into something that was wrong, well-intentioned or not. What had started out as a good thing had become a bad thing. The temple had become a place that exploited the need for salvation rather than a place that furthered it. And unless we are blind, it doesn't take a whole lot to understand what that has to do with us today. Think of people like Jerry Falwell or Jim Baker or that pink-haired lady with the big fake eyelashes who weeps her way into your heart, or even a narcissistic judge in Alabama. Think of those for whom their only means of religious expression is to pontificate about what is sin, what they're against, and to tell us what God believes. They equate faith to winning or getting ahead or personal satisfaction. And almost always a price is involved. Not the price of sacrifice, but a monetary price from your wallet to theirs. Don't you see the temple is in need of cleansing? No less than it was that day in Jerusalem. Because God's law is a letter of love, not a burden to be endured and not an entrepreneurial opportunity to be taken. We have been so conditioned to hear the commandments as here are 10 rules, obey, or else. But hear these commandments in a new way. Hear them in a way that I believe they were intended. I'm the Lord your God, only me. Because I love you, I've given you freedom. The world looking for meaning and substance has created a lot of other gods. Don't worry about them. They're not real. They're just things. So don't worship them. You look silly doing that. And besides, it hurts my feelings. You don't need things to make me real. I'm not a place. I'm present for you because I love you. And I'm loyal to those who keep my commandments. Try to make that enough. And if you would, show me some respect. Maybe that's how I'll know that you're grateful. Don't take my name lightly. And don't use my name when it's really not me doing the talking. And give yourself a break. Most of you work hard and you need a little Sabbath. Set aside some time to remind you what it is that you're working hard for. Your children, your family, your friends. And while you're at it, set aside some time for me. Let's spend the day together. It helps put things in perspective. I promise. And take care of your mom and dad, just like they took care of you. Maybe they weren't perfect, but this is part of the circle of life, and you're not perfect either. So honor them. It's just the right thing to do. And if you can't remember anything else, remember this. Don't steal. It's a biggie. When you kill a man, you steal a life. When you steal a wife's right to a husband and a child's right to a father. When you tell a lie, you steal someone's right to the truth. When you cheat, you steal the right to fairness. Don't do it. Be loyal. Not just to me, but to all you make a covenant with. You human beings are some of my very best ideas. So I bless you. Maybe you don't have everything you want. Maybe the guy down the street has it made, has all the toys that you think are important. But that was never part of the deal. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste a minute focusing on what you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. You'll be happier. I bless you with my presence. No matter what, no matter how hard. That's my promise, and the truth is, I don't ask for much in return. My friends, God's laws are not weights. They are wings. They are wings that enable our hearts to catch the wind of God's Spirit and soar. They are a proclamation that no matter what, God cares. They are not a record merely of do's and don'ts. Our relationship with God is not a complicated matter to be earned. Rather, it is something that has been purchased. Purchased by a cross that saves us and a resurrection that redeems us. And never, never by our always inadequate obedience to rules and regulations. We're called to remember. We are called to remember that angry man in the temple and how he touched people and spoke to them, how he fed the hungry and gave sight to the blind, how he put truth and justice in their right places and gave peace and joy to those who came near him. And it's only in that kind of understanding that you and I can be empowered to go and do the same for no other reason than the fact that we are loved. God love you. Amen.